Father, we're very grateful again for your presence here with us, feeling a sweet and proper spirit of worship, Lord, that's conducive to you bringing your word, and we're very happy for that. We know that the anointing for one is different from the other, and yet it's the same God, the same one doing the anointing, so that there is the praise and a reverence inculcated, and then there is a revelation by knowledge to us by the Spirit, same Spirit working in all. We're happy for that, feeling our unity, one with each, and one with each other, Lord. And what a great day there is just around the corner in the resurrection and the entrance into the glory land and into the renovated earth, which we have been promised to become heir of with you. And we cannot thank you enough, Lord, that this is ours. It is not something that we are merely looking forward to, but it is something has broken upon us, for the kingdom of God is in the midst of us. We're thankful for the days of the Son of Man are here, and this is a dividing time, which we know is necessary. We are fully aware of that. And we're grateful, Lord, that we can walk in the light as Thou art in the light. That absolute truth is never before. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, before we get into the message, I want to bring something to your notice, first of all. I told you Wednesday that I would have a couple of sheets here for you to sign your names, and you'll know what you're signing, so listen carefully. This is Grace Gospel Church, letterhead paper, 5106 State Route 47, West Bell Fountain, Ohio, 43311. Minister Lee Vail with my address, and Elder Russell Evans Sr. with his address. And the caption on the letterhead is the Founding Assembly as of December 15, 1982. So that's Grace Gospel Church at this present location, the Founding Assembly will be listed here. So if you're here as of December 15 of 82, you'll be allowed to put your signature if you so desire. And here's the caption. The following signatures are of those people who originally came together in order to form a like-minded assembly for the worship of God. Those now set forth will have a position and responsibility constitutionally that cannot be revoked or in any way superseded. When it's just constitutionally, as soon as we get our charter, we will have a constitution and bylaws. Now, we will have a constitution. Now, I realize that constitution is legally binding. Bylaws can be changed. But this is exactly what we want, a constitution, in order to keep ourselves free from any hindrance or any takeover by any people. That's when I told you there'll be 10 or 12, whatever members you said of this original group. Their vote will supersede, which God forbid this church could ever have 150 people. We're not interested. If the Lord wants it, fine, we'll do our best, but I'm not interested in numbers. But if any numbers ever came in here, as long as there were 10 or 12, whatever number original you want to make up your mind to, I don't care if there's 150 votes, the 10 votes will override. Now that may sound pretty undemocratic, but the word of God is not democratic. It is totalitarian despotic. That God will perform it, and He doesn't have if, any, ands, or buts. And I'm not about to jeopardize you people here, and you're not about to want to be jeopardized. So we'll put in the Constitution those things you need to know. So what you're signing your name to, if you want to be part, the deacons come first, 1, 2, 3, 4, trustees, 1, 2, and I'll sign my name as minister. I want everybody to sign who is a part of this group or has been since December the 15th, if you so desire. Well, my wants aren't, I'm going to superimpose them on you. What I'm trying to get across to you, even if you're 13 years of age, that's fine by me, because you were here, and you're part of us. So you understand the signatures are of those people who originally came together in order to form a like-minded assembly for the worship of God. That's just the way we want that. There's those now set forth, the signatures will have a position, responsibility, constitution, put in the Constitution, that cannot be revoked or in any way superseded. No, wait. That means all the originals are gone. Anybody can do what he wants. All right? Very good. Well, Brother Rush, you put that there. Now, I told you, and I told you correctly, that it is very difficult for me to understand how anybody cannot see the presence of God in this hour. A certain gentleman said, now, these people, didn't mention my name, but of course it's Lee Vail. He's the instigator, so to speak. I'm not Brother Branham is, and he's not God is. Brother Branham didn't ask God to come down here, and God didn't ask Brother Branham to come down here. And God doesn't care 2 cents whether I want him or not. That is from the humanistic viewpoint. See? But he does care because I'm one of the elect, same as you. Okay, let's read. Exodus. Third Exodus, page 42. Now, I'll try to cut my message down this morning because you men want to get together and have a little lunch and so on. The lunch isn't important. Yet we got it. Now, all the mysteries of justification, sanctification, baptism with the Holy Ghost is done explained. I like that. Not just explained, it's done explained. We're through. Lovely. Now, picking up the loose ends of that which is concealed in the seven seals, not the seven churches. Note those who teach different. The seven seals reveal the mystery. That's Revelation 10:6, right? 7. Then he opened the thing up at the top and found rock in there white, but had never been wrote on, is a mystery. Go to Tucson, foretell it before it happened. Stand north of Tucson, witnesses standing here. When a blast came and shook the mountains off the ground almost, at the same time a circle of light hanging yonder in the air. When the scientists took the picture, 26 miles high, about 5 times the distance of fog or anything could be up there, they can't even find what did it. It shall be light about the evening time. He's quoting the verse, this little song from the scripture, the path of glory you will surely find. If you're elected, that seed falls upon dry ground or upon rocks. It'll never do nothing. Hearts, stony hearts that want to be indifferent. If it'll fall upon the soft, mellow ground of faith, it'll bring forth a Christian bearing fruits of the Spirit. Notice how that God did that. Now, he's got the same pillar of fire that's vindicated. Somebody said, why don't you tell them scientists about it? Do you think they'd believe it? Cast not your pearl before swine. Jesus said not to. I have no leadings to do it. That living right in the city there where they was calling for it, I thought I'd go down. The Holy Spirit said, stay away. It's not to them. Go back and tell the tabernacle. All right. It shall come to pass. If what they say comes to pass, then remember I have spoken, the Lord said. See? Before it happens, there it happens. Listen to the Bible. It's the voice of God calling you thee. Now, I want you to notice this same pillar of fire is leading the people again to a promised land, the millennium. Now, I didn't say it props it. So I don't care what the Biscoe say and the Greens say and Searle say and God knows who say, and I'm naming names and I care less because they're the ones that have stuck their neck out and denied this. Why did he use a prophet right on his coattail? I like what Brother Harold Marcondes said when Mr. Lorry from India decided he would become the Son of Man on moon landing days, he called it. And he had more than all of these guys put together because this is the truth. When he went to out into California, stood in Gerard's backyard, a cloud appeared over his head and lightning came out of the cloud and thunder snapped around people's feet and scared the living daylights out of him, and the cloud followed him. These guys haven't got that. Okay? Let's understand this. I don't care what anybody said. Harold Marcondes said concerning Lorry, when he wrote on Brother Brand's coattails, he said, I got more respect for Janice and Chambers because they use their own stick. Just love that Harold Marcondes. He's as rotten as I am. Well, look, the gloves are off, the prophet said. Now look, I've been telling you folks to read this, and I don't think you read it. One or two of you might have. You've got to learn to listen to me. But I can't do you no good if you don't listen. Any more than if I don't listen to the prophet. Now, he tells you. Now, I want you to notice this same pillar of fire is leading the people again to a promised land, the millennium, where we found under inspiration of the sixth seal, that's never been taught before, how the earth has to be purified for the millennium, the pillar of fire is leading them to a millennium. Now, he's got the pillar of fire leading us and purifying the earth. Notice. The pillar of fire that led Israel from the bondage in that Exodus, the pillar of fire under the leadership of God, God was the fire, and the pillar of fire only anointed the prophet. The pillar of fire was to stand as a heavenly witness that Moses was called up. You remember Dathan and them said, well, we ought to start an organization. Moses, take too much, well, you take too much upon yourself, Moses. You try to say you're the only holy one amongst us. Moses never said that. All the congregation of the Lord is holy. That's what he said that, but he didn't say that. Brother Branham never claimed any holiness. He said, there's one holy one amongst us. He said, that's the Holy Ghost. How do you take this upon yourself? And Moses fell on his face and started weeping, and God said, separate yourself from them. I'll just open up yours and swallow them right away. Tight. How could Moses? Told him he was telling them what God had said. God vindicating it to be the truth. And I think his question here was, how could Moses do this? See? Like he said, Lord, if I'm not the one you said I was, and you're not behind me, he said, that's fine. But he said, if I am, he said, then you've got to make a difference. These men cannot die the common death of men. That's what I said a while ago. I do not believe anybody who denies this message will ever miss the great tribulation. And I'll show you tonight, this morning, when I get into my notes a little further on. Even Miriam, the prophetess herself, and Aaron laughed at Moses for marrying the Egyptian girl, making fun of him. And God got angry. Speak against his servant. What did he do? He called him out of the tabernacle during Miriam. She was a prophetess, but Moses was more than a prophet, more than a prophet. He said, don't you fear God if there's a prophet among you. I have the Lord speak in visions and make yourself known him in dreams. But not Moses. Said, don't you fear God? And she was half dead with leprosy that minute. You know that. Didn't he say John the Baptist? Did you go out to see a prophet? Yes, more than a prophet. Why? Why was he more than a prophet? He was a messenger of the covenant. The ark that blended those two dispensations again. Now, I want you to notice here that Brother Branham uses a double or a compound on the messenger of the covenant and speaking from Malachi 3 because in one place he puts God as his own messenger of the covenant, which indeed he is. He's his own mediator, so on. Then he puts John there, which is basically true in both cases. And today what we have amongst us, this great Holy Spirit is more than a prophet. It's God manifested among us with his word to prove it. Does more than a prophet. 1,000 times more than prophets do. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets of the age, only did 4 supernatural things in his life of maybe 80 years. Elijah with a double portion did eat. And we've seen 1,000 times 1,000 with our own eyes. Look at the angel of the Lord in the pillar of fire. Scientific research taking it to the world, knowing that they're going to be judged by it. What did that lamb do? The angel of the Lord, which was Christ. You believe it? St. John 6. They were all drinking this water and having a big time rejoicing. And he said, I'm the bread of life which comes down from God out of heaven. I'm the rock that was in the wilderness. They said, now we know you're crazy. You're crazy. You've got a devil on you. You're a crazy man with the devil. You know, people get a spirit on them. Sometimes they get very active religious. They say, you're a devil. You got a devil on you. You're a Samaritan. You got a devil on you. Said, here you're not eating more than 50 years old. Say, you've seen Abraham? I see him step back a couple of steps and said, I am that I am. Before Abraham was, I am. That was a burning fire. The pillar of fire in the bush. That's right, there was. Because when it said that. That was in Exodus. When he died and rose on the third day and Saul met him on the road down, he was back to that pillar of fire. Said, I come from God and I go to God. When Peter's in prison, that pillar of fire came in, opened the door, and took him on the outside. That's right. Where'd that pillar of fire lead him? Now remember, Moses was not the pillar of fire. He was the anointed leader under the pillar of fire, and the pillar of fire only vindicated his message with signs and wonders, and that pillar of fire led them to the land that God promised them, where he himself would be made flesh among them someday. Is that right? What? Pillar of fire is going to be made flesh. What did they do? Murdered and murmured and squirmed and everything else to show it was under the blood of an ordinary lamb. But this time, glory to God, the pillar of fire that we see among us, the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium, where he will return to his people in that great millennial reign. After this Exodus, where we'll live eternally with him. He always has the word of the Father, always proved that it's right. We are in an Exodus. And in leaving and turning the tapes off in a moment, my friends, my brothers, both present, and that will hear the tapes. Let me, as your brother and citizen of the kingdom of God, say, come out in this Exodus. For all that's left behind will bear the mark of the beast. Come out of Babylon. Come out of this confusion. come out of these systems and serve the living God. Let this great angel of the covenant, Jesus Christ, in the form of God, thought it not right to become equal with God. Now he's a pillar of fire in the same form that he was back there bringing the first Exodus. Bringing the second Exodus, and he is with us, and he is with the third Exodus. The first Exodus, what did he do? He brought them out of a natural land to a natural land. The second Exodus, he brought them out of a spiritual condition to spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now he's bringing them in a spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost right back into the eternal land of the millennium and the great hereafter. Same pillar of fire by the same anointed system, the same God doing the same thing. And the same word declared, the first one declared the second one. It was the same word declared the second one has declared the third one. And here we see it among us. Come out. Come out of this chaos. Come to the living God. Come to the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And now he's in our flesh dwelling among us. Come out and serve the living God. And that's exactly true. The same Spirit, a measure of which baptizes each one of us, the great baptizer himself, is here to lead us in. You notice he said he led us out of the spiritual wilderness into a baptism with the Holy Ghost, and now leading us out of this, because the baptism of the Holy Ghost terminates when the last one is in, he himself personally taking us into the land. And if you read the book of Exodus, you'll find the Holy Spirit was before them and behind them. So, I just want you to know, if you haven't taken time to read and get into it, that I was not just giving you something to think about in the sense of that which is perhaps rational and worthy of your thoughts, but it goes far beyond that. It's your life itself. All right. We're going to talk about one word off this morning. One word off. And to do so, we'll read two or three portions of Scripture, which we will begin with the third or the fourth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy 1 to 5. Now, therefore, hearken. Listen. Now, notice the term listen. We'll hit it again in Revelation. O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed from among you. That's your mixed multitude. But you did cleave unto the Lord your God, are alive every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. All right? Revelation chapter 1. Just the first three verses, then over to 22. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth. And does not necessarily be a conjunction, but it can be a preposition even. Blessed is he that readeth, even they that hear the words of this prophecy. In other words, I'm saying that reading this book is literally listening to the voice of God. A literal listening. Blessed is he that readeth. Or as Brother Branham said, if you can't read, someone will read it to you. That's fine. Here's the words of this prophecy. And will keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What time? Let's find out. Revelation chapter 22. Which we'll get to and describe the time shortly. This is just a continued reading of adding or taking. All right. Revelation 22, 17 to 19, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever let him take the water of life freely, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. That's under the vials, under the sixth seal, the great tribulation. And if any man take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. That's the white throne judgment. And out of the holy city, he'll never make it. Even if his name was there, he'd never make it. And the things that are written in this book, behold, I come quickly. Now, the subject title is One Word Off, but the scripture reading is adding or taking a word. Now, very simply stated, the lesson is this. Do not change the word of God by even one word, for all it takes is one word off, and it is absolutely no longer the word of God, but anti-word. God will not own it. Therefore, he will not back it up. Now, why? Because if it is changed, it is not the word of God. Now, it's very easy to understand what we're looking at by simply going to Genesis 2 and 17 and Genesis 3 and 4. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In the third chapter, in verse 4, and the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. The word of God said, thou shalt die. The word of Satan said, thou shalt not die. That's two words exactly opposite, or two statements, two basics, actually opposite, and exactly opposite, by putting in a little three-letter word, not. Now, to try to see and feel the enormity of the damage done by adding just one word, all we have to do is to compare two words, to note the differences of their attributes and their effects. And those two words are life and death. And that is what Genesis 2 and 17 was all about, life and death. All you have to do is to think of life. Immediately, you recognize the movement, the ability to cope within an environment, the ability to be sensate, to communicate, to have a freedom, to be able to walk in a realm where you can take on and put off. It speaks of, in the highest form, of everything that is wonderful. Because life in its original was completely sensate to all things, the highest of the spiritual, which was God, and the very best of the physical, because all was in a continuity. And you cannot think of life in its true meaning of what life is in terms of life isolated. And we're talking of pure life in an isolated form, which cannot contain anything which would allow a deterioration, but a constant progression in the realms of the spiritually sensate and the realms of the physically sensate, where there is a perfection and a oneness. Death is not that way. Death speaks of the entering in of a principle which will finally bring a demise, which is in constant disunity with that which is spiritual and that which is physical, so that man cannot do what he'd like to do, and what is done to him is what he does not want to have done. That he is in a straitjacket, and he does not dictate, but he is dictated to. That he does not have an actual will, but some other will is superimposed upon him. And when he would have that which is right and good, there is no way that he can get it. Because death is entirely opposite to life. One little word did it. Think about two more words, heaven and hell. Think about two more words, restoration, annihilation. lies there. Think about two more words. Welcome, come, enter. Unwelcome, forbidding, go and depart. I never knew you. Think about paradise, paradise given. Think about paradise lost. Think about the kingdom of heaven. Think about the kingdom of hell. And you're thinking about one word, not, which was put in there by Satan. And he said, surely you will not die. And God said, you will not, did not gain them anything, not lost them everything. Do you realize that you and I will never go through this span of where we were capable of growth, love, and marriage, and rearing a family as we have at this hour? We lost it. Babies weren't meant to come into the world deformed. They weren't meant to be murderers, liars, cheats. There isn't one perfect family amongst us. The most perfect family here could lose a child tomorrow morning, or a father or mother. One word. One word interpolated, interjected, changed the entire word of God and the course of history, because the original word was, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and everything will be in subjection to you. And it was all lost. Now we could go on, but the lesson never changes. One word off, as Brother Branham said, is Satan's kingdom. Inculcating an entirely different spirit from the spirit that lies without a change. One word off is death and destruction. So we learn, leave the word exactly as is given. Never add to or take away. Now, let's be careful so we don't get in a straitjacket ourselves. Now, this adding or taking away that we're talking about or speaking about is not prohibiting the use of a double negative. But that was... it entirely out of being God's word or away from being God's word. It is therefore no longer God's pure revelation. Let me explain the double negative. Romans 8 and 9 says, now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The only reason this verse does not just as correctly say, if any man has the spirit of Christ, he is one of his. The same thing. Is for the sake of emphasis. Notice also, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. It is just as true that if a man is born again, he shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Yet on no consideration should these verses be changed in any way, even though the central truth is there and the actual revelation is not changed. Because if you do, something is lost in the urgency, the emphasis, and the dynamism. It just isn't right. Because the impact is somehow gone. It is not nearly as powerful to say it in a positive way, with a single positive, as it is with the double negative. Like in algebra, two negatives make a positive. Except a man be born again, he shall in no wise, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So we learn, not only does God forbid a change of meaning, but he forbids anything that would detract from the force of the eloquence and the incisive of meaning. You know incisors are? You bite with them. When the word of God loses its bite and becomes insipid, is like when I have a congregation who stays up late to watch TV and they go to sleep on me. Now, you get away with it once or twice, but the ushers will be bringing ice water for the next time. So we learn not only does God forbid a change of meaning, but he forbids anything that would detract from the force of the eloquent and incisive meaning. Thus a word taken or added here, in this extent, would void the word at least in part as to its reality and vitality. It would vitiate it. That's a nice word. Take away strength. Who is to say then it is any longer the word of God? Well, come on. See? That is in truth. Now let us go even further to view the enormity of violation that this word has suffered. We go to Genesis, the third chapter. And the fourth verse again. And the serpent said, you shall not surely die. And in 3 and 4, we found that Satan in the form of the serpent deliberately added one word, a three-letter word. But do you know the Satan's offspring came? Deliberately left out a whole revelation. Deliberately left out a whole revelation. Genesis 4. 1-7. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man of the Lord, and she again bare his brother Abel. Twins. And Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. Process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the first fruit of the ground an offering of the Lord, and Abel also brought the first thing of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect to Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, his countenance fell. The Septuagint said that Cain was not wroth at this point, but he was very sorrowful. Now, come on. Just let your thinking go, because you're not letting it go. You know, I want you people, and you're going to get this way, by the grace of Almighty God, to drop one hint, and you swing right into a realm of thinking. There are a lot of people who cry before God. There are a lot of people who sorrow. There are a lot of people who seem to have a rapport. This man had a rapport. When God said, I won't take it, he cried. He cried. Like Judas kissed Jesus affectionately. It wasn't just a peck on the cheek. Now we'll show a little later on what's all about. Now he sorrowed, he cried. He felt terrible. And the Lord said, why are you wroth? Let's put it the other way. Why are you sorrowing? Why are you weeping? Now, a fallen countenance is not so wrathful as chagrined, which is embarrassed and hurt. When you talk about anger, you're livid. So, the Septuagint is a better translation, which is the Greek, you know. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Sin offering is there, like Abel's. And it unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. In other words, the animal can't do a thing if you want to kill it. Now, don't tell me, he said, that you can't take an animal and kill it. Because he said, you can, if that it's there. All you got to do is do it. Well, that didn't go so good. All right? Now, Genesis 4:7. If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin offering lies at the door. Unto thee shall be his desire, thou shalt rule over him. Now, that's the sin offering of the shedding of blood, which is Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You'll never get rid of your sins without blood. There's nothing God will do for you on the grounds of permanency without blood. This one verse in Hebrews comes from Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. There had to be a death, the life of something shed, in order to give them a cloak, which would be for their sins, which original sin was perversion. Now, let us see 1 Corinthians 5, 7, the second part of it. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So we see the shedding of the blood of the Lamb that took place in the Garden of Eden. Pretty well. just outside. After God dealt with the sin question. Now we see Abel offering the Passover lamb. In other words, God standing guard himself. We see it all through the Word. Abel was in accord with the Word. He offered the Passover sacrifice, but Cain bypassed it. He refused it, and he went right to the first fruit offering. Now notice, Christ our Passover, right? Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 now. And by again, you should be way ahead of me, because you know what I'm going to read. Start in verse 20. For now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they who are first fruits, just like him, at his presence. Now you notice, the offering concerning the resurrection is fruit out of the ground, which is the body of Christ coming out of the ground. 3 days and three nights in hell, 3 days and three nights in that time, he was in the grave. So now there is a first fruit. The first fruit is significant and types the resurrection of him coming out. The lamb types the resurrection of death and going in. Now, you will notice that Cain deliberately bypassed an offering for sin. And without the blood, you won't come out of the ground. Okay? In other words, in plainer English, you would never be in the first resurrection. Now anyone knows that if you offer thanks by first fruit, you are claiming that you will be a part of the first resurrection. But if you leave out your offering of blood, you are making the word of God a lie, because 1 Corinthians 15, 20-23 pins it down that the blood of Christ alone can give resurrection power, because it tells you as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all are made alive. And there is no way that anybody could ever have the life of God come back on him without the presence of the blood. All right. Cain left out the basic revelation of the entire Word. The basic revelation of the entire Word is redemption by blood. To leave out redemption by blood is to reduce the whole Word to a philosophy. Which people, if they want to throw the blood sacrifice into an allegory, which is what you would have to do, just what you might call an illustration, an allusion, A-L-L, the allusion to, not illusion, but allusion to, like in general, then all you have here is a book of creeds and dogmas. a book of human philosophy. But let's read Genesis 4 and 7 again. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin offering lies right at your doorstep. Now, a door here means an entering into. Why, he said, you've offered the sacrifice unto the first resurrection. Why don't you take the steps that get you there? The door of entrance is the Lamb shedding His blood. See? All right. Now he said, you've got it right at your fingertips. It's right here of a door out and a door into. You can have it. All right. This time, we're going to read what the Septuagint says. Thou hast offered right, but if thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned? Now notice, he offered the offering of the first fruit specifically according to truth. But it was out of order. The first fruit is not first. It is the blood offering. And God says here categorically that if you get the Word of God right, but out of order, you're in sin. That's where Brother Branham could preach, trying to do God a service apart from His will. This man could not do it. Now, Paul bears this translation out. Thou hast offered right. For he says in Hebrews the 11th chapter, verse 4, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. As I've said previously many times, if the sacrifice of Abel was more excellent, there's no way you can understand the offering of Cain but excellent. Because you must have excellent before you get more excellent. You've got to have good before you have better, and you've got to have better before you get best. Because that's the value and understanding of words. And he said here that Cain offered, and what he did in itself was perfect. See? But it's like that grain of wheat that Brother Branham said the FHA got to working on with the kids. So they went to the universities and they produced a grain of corn that was identical to every other grain of corn, analytically and anatomically sound. And they said, which is which? Well, they said, nothing to it. Don't feed it to cattle. That's been good put in the ground. Sprinkle it and let it out the sun. And they found out in a hurry. See? Now, if you misplace any of the Word of God, destroying a continuity, that's taking away. There's nothing you can do about it. That's a simple statement. Listen to what Paul says in Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, notice, Cain was ashamed. Right. He was hurt for someone to tell him, you don't have a part in this. And that gave way to anger. It is very evident that Cain was not able to receive the revelation even when God spoke it, but Abel was. Let's go to Matthew 16 and see how that carries through. When God took upon himself the form of a man, he did it by bringing a man to birth, and he indwelled him. God didn't change into a man. God just took the form. 13th verse. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. That was a pretty good guess. Some said you're Elijah. That's a better guess. Some said you're Jeremiah. That's not too bad either. The rest of them, they just couldn't place it. They said, well, he's got to be one of the prophets. Which one? We don't know. That's very good, because he was the prophet. But they're all wrong. Now, they were simply all wrong. He didn't fit. He was in the Word like these men were in the Word, but it didn't fit. Be
because he wasn't only in the Word, he was the Word. And he said, who do you say I am? Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed it to you who I am, only my Father which is in heaven. And I say, you're Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What's he building his church on? His brother Branham said, revelation. Now, no revelation, true revelation by ye, allowed one word in, changed the course of the entire history, brought in death when life should have reigned supreme. Now, Cain comes along, and he changes the course of history also, because he refuses the blood. He will not do it. He will identify himself with the first resurrection reinstatement. Back to the original and far beyond the original. But he denies the blood. Now, he gave an excellent sacrifice. He thoroughly lined up with that portion of the predestinating Word of God. Do you realize every time you take the blood up here in symbol and the bread in symbol that you are actually viewing your own predestination and admitting to what you are? Because except you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You're saying, I witness to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the life that is in me, to the resurrection that I'm looking forward to because I drink this. And the knowledge that one day, and eat this and the knowledge that one day we'll do it anew in the millennium. Here, he turned down the predestinating word of Almighty God and brought upon himself and to his likeness reprobation, those ordained under condemnation, who would go to annihilation. It was death to turn down a revelation. Here's what 1 John, the 3rd chapter, says concerning this one. Verse 11, this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. He was the father of the serpent, which made him the father of the devil, the child of the devil. He was fathered by the serpent, rather. And he slew his brother. Now listen. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. What was the evil work of Cain? The work that contained death. Taking from the word of God a certain portion and misapplying it, taking it out of its context. And thereby you will notice, Cain was right, Abel was right, but Cain was wrong. Now, the evil that Cain did was unbelief in a demonstrated revelation, because God came back, receiving the sacrifice of Cain. Abel, rather, I'm sorry. But he turned down the sacrifice of Cain. He would not take it. Now, the evil work then that Cain did was taking out of context, taking away what God had set therein that must be abided by. He would not do it. That was the evil work. And notice, it was that evil work that caused Cain to kill his brother. Now, you see, that's death. Started right back, one word. Now you go from the precept of death injected, you go now to death demonstrated. And where death starts with one man, it'll go to the place where it ends in wars where millions are killed. It went to the place where 3 billion at least died in the flood. And already we've got over 4 billion people here on earth at this moment, so that over 4 billion people can be destroyed, actually because of sin, that God must destroy them. And you will notice that Cain is not in the genealogy of the sons of God. His name is removed from the book of life. And anyone else who does this, though their name be there on the book of life, the name will be removed because they have no part with the Word of God. How can they? Because if the Word of God is not fulfilled in your life, how is it going to be fulfilled over there? Because it's the same Word. That's the thing that puzzles me. How can he not be here when he's going to be there?
Amen.
And I'm not talking about you being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Don't get that nonsense in your heads. I'm talking about him who is the baptizer. I'm talking about him who said, when I go back to the Father, we will send the Holy Spirit upon you, so each one of you will get a portion. We're talking about that one who is in the midst of us now, not in us, but in the midst of us, who has a portion that makes us children of God, in us, but stands as the Father amongst his children. All right. We see then even more clearly that taking away from the Word of God is the refusal of a revelation of God. Now, that's what he did. She refused the revelation. She really didn't have one. If she'd have had a revelation, she'd have gone with it. Now, Cain didn't have a revelation, but he turned down what he saw. He said, no, wait. See? Now, that revelation can be pointed out and proven, but man turns it aside. Yet notice how many of these same men will quote Isaiah 8 and 20. Now, let's just go back and look at it. Isaiah 8 and 20. Oh, brother, you watch the Seventh-day Adventist. Go on, listen. The Church of God under Armstrong. No doubt the Jehovah's Witness and the whole bunch of ilk, the same ilk. It says in the 20th verse, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. But they're not the only ones. The Pentecostals say it. The Baptists say it. The Methodists quote it. Every denomination with its book of doctrine, creeds, and tenets will spout it. Quoting the same verse, have as many as 100 different ideas about it. Each one from the same verse has either a different meaning or multiplied different meanings. That proves that that's not of God, because God is of one mind. Somebody missed something somewhere. So though one may leave untouched the exact word of God, one may add or take from it by a wrong interpretation or application and be exactly where Cain was, who deliberately wrested a whole portion of Scripture and refused it. And where Eve listened to the devil's lie and added one word that changed it all. The Bible dramatically warns of false teachers. What false teachers? They're not those that come along and say, hey, forget the Bible. They are those that teach the Bible false. See? False apostles. They're not ones that say, hey, forget about this hogwash about Jesus. They'll come and tell you all about a bunch of lies about him, your false apostles. And you got the false prophets. They'll submit the genuine signs and wonders and say, hey, I got it right to tell you what the Bible means, but they don't have thus saith the Lord, and they don't have the right. Only William Branham had it, like Moses and Paul. So then he's got false pastors, false apostles, false prophets, false teachers, false evangelists. Oh, there are millions of those. Almost everybody in the pew becomes a false evangelist, running around with their poison, join the Sorcerer's Club, because Brother Branham said witchcraft. Oh, under the Holy Spirit, that man was a genius. Pure spiritual genius, as anybody in the Holy Ghost is. You're a pure spiritual genius while you get the Word of God and take it in your heart and say, that's it. That's what Brother Branham did. There is a whole suite of false ministers. Apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor, elders, deacons, two members. Stinking lot, I guess you might say. I how you spell that word to you. All right, the plot thickens. In other words, it looks discouraging as the fog comes down on this word. That it just isn't something anybody can pick up and read and say, I've got it. For man seems surely in an inextricable. He can't be extricated. He can't be taken out. He's either stuck or his wheels are spinning. It seems that he's in that predicament. Yet, not actually so, for God has a way for us provided to believe and to receive. Because by now you will have come to the understanding that it is what you believe. And that would have to be what God has really said. And God has really put in order. And there has to be some way to believe it and receive it. For God explains it and makes a way out for us. Now, let's go back to Deuteronomy 4 because that's where we started. Let's read 1-5 again. Now, therefore, hearken. Therefore, listen. That's right. This is Old Testament. Hearken. Revelation 1:3. Listen. Read. And while you read, you better be listening that the Holy Spirit can reveal it to you. Remember, there was an Ethiopian eunuch right after Pentecost. He was going home from the great feast. Evidently, he had to do his Ethiopian unto Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, descendant of the queen of Sheba that came down to David. She had a child by him, and that's where you get these black Jews. Perfectly legitimate, as far as I'm concerned. They can do what they want. We do what we want. Anyway, he was down. He'd come back from Jerusalem, and now he's riding along reading Isaiah 53. And he's thinking to himself, inwardly talking. He said, who in the world is this talking about? He's just very strange. And he sees Philip there in the desert. God had caught him away and told him to go down to the desert. Got him away from that big meeting of Samaria. And the eunuch sees him and he gets him up in the carriage. They give this old fellow a ride. Philip said, I see you're reading the Bible. He said, yes, I'm reading that Bible. He said, Taddy, he said, you know, he said, it's very interesting here. He said, something just bugs me. Something keeps bringing me back to this portion of Scripture here of Isaiah. And he said, I tell you, something is trying to tell me something, but there's no way I can get it. He said, what do you tell me? Does this man talk about somebody else or he's talking about himself? What is this anyway? And Philip, full of the Holy Ghost. That was the difference. Why, he said, it just happens that I can tell you all about it. And he got the revelation. See? All right. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel. Under the statutes, under the judgment which I teach you. Now look, he didn't just throw this book at them and say, here it is, pop through it. There came a day, one day, when Israel was supposed to rest on the Sabbath, not supposed to do any work, and yet they knew if an ox fell in the ditch, you pulled the ox out. If someone was suffering, you tried to help him. You didn't say, poor old cow. By and till midnight, you'll be dead, but I can't do a thing because there's a God up here I gotta obey, and he's a little bit tight about these things. What about God and the possum at Brother Branham's porch? They came for healing. What about John Wesley's horse? Now, God, I think, healed the horse for two reasons. He felt sorry for the horse, maybe he felt sorry for John Wesley. So John wouldn't have to walk. What about the horse in Africa that fell down bleeding in the streets of Johannesburg or someplace where Dr. Lake was? And the black people laughed and they said, well, Lake, if your God is so big, what about that horse? And Lake said, I'll show you a thing or two about my God. When I prayed for the horse jumped up and whinnying ran up, friskier than ever. All right, Moses, this fellow was picking up sticks on the Sabbath. Now, he wanted to cook a dinner. Well, all right, you're hungry on Sunday. Some people get nauseated, they don't eat. I don't get that bad. I imagine I could after a while, but I don't need food as much as a lot of people do. This fella, he might have been pretty legitimate. Now they catch him picking up sticks. And they say, hey, I don't know, this doesn't ring a bell. There's something a little bit funny here. We better take this fella in and check this thing out. And they said, Moses, we brought you this guy. He said, what for? Well, he said he was picking up sticks. What about it? There's something about not supposed to do any work on servile work on the Sabbath. Moses said, that's right. He said, what you do? He said, we haven't got time for him today. Put him in detention. And we'll get that a little later on. So they put him in detention, which is the thing, separate him, which is the thing to do. Then they went to the Lord and said, Lord, what about this fella? Now, this could be legitimate because he needed these sticks to cook his dinner. And the word of the Lord came back, you stone him with stones because he could have done that yesterday. Now, see what I'm talking about. The teaching of the Word of God is not. This Bible per se, it is the revelation of this Bible. As God reveals exactly the content of His Word and for what reason and for what course teach for to do them that you may live. And going to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the words that I command you, neither shall you diminish aught, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. All the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God destroyed from among you. But you that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive every one of this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes, judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me. Now, he never taught them anything of himself, but by revelation. That's exactly what Paul says. And William Brown said, remember, just think how wonderful. The same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here, revealing the same word. Now, this we just got to believe these things and take them, brother, sister, because life is at stake today and death is amongst us. See, this is a million times more serious and sober than people realize. People thought they had a sideshow and an entertainer, Brother Branham. Believe me, there was no sideshow, no entertainment. There was vindication and revelation. The Most High God in the midst of His people. Now, behold, I taught you statutes and judgment, even as the Lord commanded me, that you should do so in the land, whether you go to possess it. Now notice, 1 and 5. And listen, now therefore hearken unto the statutes of judgment, which I teach you for to do them. That you may live and go in and possess the land. Go in and possess the land. Now the 5th verse. Behold, I taught you statutes of judgment, even as the Lord commanded me, that you should do so in the land, whither you go to possess it. Now, you will notice the admonishment of verse 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep, have with you the entire revealed word of God at this hour. Because the command of Moses was the command of God. So we see the admonishment of verse 2 was given at the time of entering into the promised land, the many millennium. At no other time was this admonition given. See? When the fog closed down, a peculiar hour in which it was neither day nor light of the entering in, when man must know for sure or go into tribulation. Remember Baal Peor, they died. Spiritual death struck. In the wilderness, the foolish virgins died. Remember them. These were going in. And they had a purely revealed, self-contained, absolute word that would get them in. As long as they didn't add to it or take away from it or attempt to change and juggle things around. Now, we go to Revelation 22. And we read in verse 10, and he said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. What time is at hand? That's the question. What about this? Don't seal the book. It was sealed in Revelation 10 and 4. It was shown to be sealed in Revelation chapter 5. But here it's unsealed. So every mystery, according to Revelation 10, 6 and 7, is before us in full view. Now that's the word of God. Man says, well, I just wonder. Well, keep your wondering. Be my guest. Deny the presence of God. Deny the revelation of God. Deny it. I told you before, I can't hold your hands and get you there. Hold your own hands. See, there hasn't got one thing for you. Coming to this church hasn't got one thing for you. I can't help you. The great helper's here. See? Now, the book is unsealed. The fog's lifted. The inexorable predicament has been overcome. There's got to be a place where I do not add one word or take one word. That my revelation becomes one with God. Yes, sounds strange, one with God. Oh, sure, how can you say that? You're a human being born in sin. Yes, but he takes the beggars off the manure heap that smell like dung. You want to know just how raw that can be? Wait till the horses go to green grass and stand behind them. You know what you smell like. And if you don't smell like that, you'll never be a prince with God. The minute you recognize what you are and what he is and what he said he would do for you by taking your place, you'll understand that God justifies the ungodly. He declares righteous. Not just one person now, but the whole bride. He said, you didn't even do it. See? Book open. Yes, men fuss and they fight. And we're fussing and fighting now. You can tell before I preach this sermon, I'm engaged with men who say he's not here. And I showed you he is here. Well, what are you doing here? There's nobody belongs here that doesn't believe a prophet. No, you say, well, Brother Bill, I never heard him until this hour. That's fine. You sit around and listen. You keep coming. If something witnesses this is the truth, fine. If it doesn't, come anyway if you like. We'll give you a sandwich or anything you want. Help you out. Anything we do. That's all you're going to get. Because I'm going to tell you something flat. If God's here, there had to be a prophet. And if a prophet was here, vindicated, God was here. And he still is here. Now, we're not going to fool with that anymore because we understand that perfectly. We also understand we have to have the perfect word of the hour because the prophet cannot say anything of his own mind. Oh, well, Brother Branham said so-and-so. Oh, shut up! When he was in that pulpit preaching, previously anointed to get in that pulpit, there was no way. If there's a God in heaven who doesn't lie, there was no way that word would ever come except by a pure revelation, whether you and I understood it or not.
Amen.
The thing was, we believed he gave the truth. And if the same Holy Spirit's in us in a modicum that gave that truth, there will be that response in here, amening every single word. That's what happened to Eve back there. She messed up because she wasn't in the original creation. Original creation. Original word. Original scene. Never boo-boos. Never gets fooled. The book is unsealed. The time is at hand. What time? Just filthy. It's over. Nobody else is going to get born again. Those that are born again are perfectly holy. They're justified. You can't lay a finger on them. Why? Because God won't judge them to condemnation. He judged them virtuous. Beggars on the dung heap. Jesus was born on a dung heap.
I'm going to associate with Jesus. He's my kind of a man. Always was one for the dung heap. I never saw a kid you keep out of the mud yet. He had anything in him. This is some little namby-pamby jerk that tried to act like a guru or something. Behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me. Every man according to his worship be a mouth of the maid, being in the first and last. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter into the city. No tree of life. No city. No revelation. No washing your robes. What's that got to do with it? The washing of water by the word. A bride pure and spotless. Because she hasn't added one word or taken one word, that leaves her legitimate. In her is fulfilled every one of the processes of God in redemption. Yeah. And without our dogs as male prostitutes, don't sell that short. Sorcerers as druggists. Priests and preachers and false cults that give you the wrong interpretation. Whoremongers. Those that just come in with their fornicating ways. The murderers. That's the king. Yeah. The idolaters. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, that's a whole bunch of them. That's the devil's crowd right there. They're all left out. All right, listen. Let's go on. Verses 18 and 19 are given at this time. For I testify to every man that hears the words of the prophet's book. If any one person, any man, add, God will give him the plagues. Great tribulation. Couldn't happen any other time. And the bride's gone at this time. How can she get the plagues when she doesn't add a word or take a word? And this bunch here that take away the word. They'll come up with the white throne. And their name's filed out. They haven't got a chance. Why? You know what they take away? They take away redemption by blood every single time. And they take away the baptism with the Holy Ghost. They go one course or the other. They deny the blood or they deny the Spirit. And you know the evidence of denying the Spirit is? And not having it is denying the revelation of the hour. They turn it down. They'll never get in. See? This is given at the time of the going into the millennium. Now Alpha is Omega. We learned that. The first Exodus type the last Exodus, because there aren't any more. This is it. Jews and Gentiles alike go into the millennium. They got their own processes and their own chronological orders of going in, but it's all one and the same by the blood and by the Holy Ghost, because 144,000 are sealed in. And the souls under the altar do not come up in the first resurrection. They come up in the second and come in. They're not brides. The millions and billions, if there are, outside the eternal city bring their glory in, but they're not part of it. They serve the bride as she serves the groom. Now Alpha is Omega. The Alpha is the exodus from Egypt, an entrance into the promised land. The Omega is Revelation 18 and 4. Come out of her, my people. And Revelation 22 and 14. Blessed are they that wash their robes. And from this point, they're different. On the way to New Jerusalem, it doesn't even talk about the millennium. You know why? Because Abraham looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God, and that is not the millennium, that is the New Jerusalem, which is post-millennium. All right, listen. The Alpha, Exodus, and Entrance had five principles. God came on the scene. A prophet with the revealed word. Both God and the prophet identified. Four. The word vindicated as to the hour of the Exodus and entering in. The people in a state of revelation and truth. There is no other requisite or prerequisite. That is it. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy. The fifth chapter. I'm not telling you that you don't have to be born again. I'm telling you what's laid here for you, the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy. Verse 1, now hearken, Israel, unto the statutes, unto the judgments I teach you, for to do them you may live and go and possess the land which the Lord your God gives you. The fifth verse, I taught you stands in judgment. See the grace of God in five verses. Even as the Lord my God commanded me, you go into the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. And this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. This is what you and I have in the eyes of the world, the Word of God. And everybody wants everybody else to be a jumping jack. To out Branham Branham. To out God God. To out miracle miracles. That's why Brother Branham says you'll have the Word in order to do this. It'll just be simple. It'll be living Word because we've become the living Word. Where do you get big ministries here? Where do you get big prerequisites of this, that, and the other thing? The prerequisite is this knowledge, which is undiluted and in no way changed. That God is in His Word. And the only way God can be in His church is for the church to have the Word. Now, this is your wisdom and understanding to the nation, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? Now, what were they calling upon for? Get us in there and take care of us. Restore us. What are we calling on Him for this year? Get us in there. Oh, Lord, make me a better person. Why, I can make you 10 times better person. You want to stay here with it? Oh, Lord, great big gift. How many do you want? But you can fry with them. Well, didn't He say, depart me, you worthy niggers? Well, I'd like more clothes. Well, how close do you want me to get? I'm here, aren't I? I'm not trying to make a fool out of you. I'm just trying to show you some points here. That when you have God here to do a job, everything is included. Because Exodus means, and entrance means, it's over. You've left the phase. You're in transition.
Hallelujah.
What is the transition? The transition is the Word. Revealed. To bring you back to virginity. To bring you back where God wants you. And now, what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I've set before you today? Who's got the Word, the righteous Word of God outside of us? And what do you want the rest for? It's not that you can't have them in its right places. We're not turning down character. Don't think for 1 minute that I turn down character. I bemoan the fact I don't have half enough. But I rejoice in the fact that His character is going to supersede mine, thank God. You know, just like going to a restaurant years ago and getting any money. I was always glad when the guy that had the money reached for the check. Oh, praise God for God that reaches for the check. He paid the price. All to Him I owe. Then left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow, brother, sister. That's not laughing. That's rejoicing. Let me tell you. Yes, light brings light. Well, doesn't it? The seed is already there. Let the earth bring forth the green grass, the trees, the this, the that. It was already there. All it needed was the sun because the water was there. It wasn't salt water, by the way. And it came later. It was all just nice, good water. It was taking up the water that made it so saline, I guess, down here. The taking up started the thing working until after the flood. The other salt condition had bacterial condition, a lot of other things. Perhaps they didn't have before. See? Light. Thus today we have Revelation 10:1-7. The mighty messenger coming down, clothed with a rainbow. Face of the word of the sun, feet like pillars of fire. One on land and one on sea. Crying with a loud voice, a lion roars. Thunder's uttering. And a prophet there, at the same time, revealing the mysteries of God. That, my brother, sister, is identical to 1 Thessalonians 4.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, trumpet, God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The same one here is Revelation 10 and 1. And the voice, the shout, which is not said to be the voice of the one descending, and it is not, is the prophet of Revelation 10 and 7. And Brother Branham absolutely showed us that it was. He said, you might have thought I was trying to make myself something preaching this message. I was no more than a voice of one standing by. Listen, it is 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit or by word or letter, as from us at the day of the Lord at hand. No, there'll be a revelation about it. Let no man deceive any means. That day won't come except certain things transpire. Then notice, in verse 11, for this cause God will send a strong delusion, they all believe thee lie. That means you shall not die, but live, and they won't die, live, they'll die. That they all might be condemned, that believe not the truth. Now listen, that presupposes a judgment. Because you've got to judge between people. Who believes the lie? Who doesn't believe the lie? What is the standard? The judge? The prophet moving into judge. Now, of course, Dayton and Byron didn't believe Moses. They got a bunch against him. They were the first denomination. Why? They said the whole congregation's holy. Hogwash. That bunch of stupid liars. Nothing but stupid liars. They're not worth the time of day, and their names even in their mouths, except as an example. You ought to wash your mouths with soap or maybe spit or something. Merciful God, you talk about ornery spiritual corruption. What made them think they were somebody? What made them think the whole body was something? It hadn't been weeded out entirely yet. You had to get those guys out of there. 250 princes died and all their families. You know why? Because they set themselves up against the one who did bring the revealed word. And when they did, they set themselves up against God. Because it wasn't Moses, it was God they disapproved of. People disapproved of Brother Branham. So they thought they did. Saying he's Jesus only. They're liars. They disapproved of God. Bible says they did. Let's stay with the Bible, brother, sister. This is Exodus. This is Exodus in Deuteronomy. It's Exodus in Hebrew 3. It's Exodus in Revelation 22. It's Exodus in 1 Thessalonians. It's Exodus in 2 Thessalonians. Read it with understanding. Alpha's Omega. We're not blind anymore. I'll tell you one thing. If not one of us made it, we at least got a whole lot further. And over 99%. And you say, Brother Bear, but that's not much comfort. Hold it, kid. You ain't there yet. God ain't through yet. Because once you start moving, God moving you, he's not going to stop.
Amen.
See, here comes the time. Let me illustrate. Here comes the time when the law of gravity will simply take over. So God's word. When you are a part of that shout, you will be a part of the voice and a part of the trumpet. Because the shout comes to the living who are associated with the dead that are going to come out. From amongst the other dead. As a nation came out of a nation, a church comes out of a church, and the dead come from amongst the dead. Yeah. Everything is a coming. And a coming into. Now listen, let's keep reading. That the all might be condemned to believe not the truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness. What unrighteousness? The evil deeds attained. Refusing a revelation in the face of that which was vindicated and that which was of the hour. When the Catholics turned down Luther, they were gone. When Luther turned down Wesley, they were gone. When Wesley turned down Pentecost, they were gone. When Pentecost turned down William Branham, they were gone. Come out of her, my people. That is why you have bride in every age. That is why you have foolish virgin in every age. One word. Now listen. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of spirit, even belief of the truth. He chose you to believe. Why? The elect cannot be deceived. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will be in his image because of this word that has been revealed and renewed through the same pillar of fire that gave it to Paul, now gave it to William Branham.
He's been preaching from a long time, but don't worry. I'm going to get back one of these days on the Father of glory. Don't worry. Begin to perk a little bit again. Paul preaching to those and telling them that are filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, now there's just one thing left. And that's going into the promised land. Now he said, I've seen your love. I've seen your fruit. I've seen all of these things. He said, that's wonderful, but that's not going to do it. Oh, my. People say when this love moves amongst us, and when everybody just kissy, kissy, lovey, lovey, you know, oh, munchy, munchy, crunchy, crunchy, you know, eat each other up. Oh, hallelujah, you know, glory to God, we're going to go. I've got news for you. These people had the real thing, the real love. Their church was in order, and they hadn't gone yet. And Paul said, listen, you're not going to go until the Spirit of wisdom, until the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, gives you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. To the end, the eyes of your heart being enlightened, you will come into the knowledge which will transform you, which is the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, of his inheritance of faith, and you will know at that hour the same resurrection power that raised Jesus is going to bring him out of the grave, and he's going to change you and put you in a rapture. Now what's going to do it? Revelation. Revelation by him who is here releases the power of him who is here to bring them out of the grave, to change you, to take us up. And then they say he's not here. Well, he is, and I'm going with him.
Amen.
Hallelujah! The gloves are off, as the prophet said. Oh, say, Brother Ben, you must have shout that. You mean to tell me I'm to be silent and let the truth go down the drain while the other crowd gives the devil's lie? Oh, come on, you don't know who they are. And you don't know that God believes they'll know. You know William Branham that believes they'll know. Somebody doesn't know somebody. Now, I just said if that's the way it is. But thank God that's not the way it is. Now, look, I'm not trying to make you a fighter. Forget it. I'm not trying to make you, you know, toughies or anything. I'm the least tough guy in the world. Actually, the fight comes, I turn and run because he, what is it said? Starts the fight and runs away. Well, it's a fight another day. Sure, don't get me messed up with your thinking. All right, listen. From Ephesians 1:15-23, God and people are all one by the word. Therefore, any adding will bring the plague. Now, we're not going to add, so we don't bring the plague. Look, didn't he bring it on himself? Didn't Cain bring it on himself? Wasn't it told that he would be a fugitive from the land, and the land would only destroy him? That's not our promise, brother, sister. We're not fugitives from the land. We're going into the land. And it'll not destroy us. We're going to take it over. We're not going to be here for any great tribulation. And then here for a burning. Come on. Too simple, isn't it? Well, you know, when you look at yourself, you say, brother, it better be simple. Then when it comes simple, you say, well, it better be complex, because I'm sort of in a dream. Like that bat I told you about, you know, when the birds and the animals had a war. The old bat, when the birds are winning, he started to say, I'm a bird. And when the animals started winning, he closed his wings, he said, I'm an animal. So now, look, you can't be fish or fowl. The Bible says all flesh is different. There's one flesh of fish, there's one of fowl, and there's one of us. Now, you better stick to your flesh. There's one flesh of God. Word. All right. Listen. Therefore, anyone adding will bring the plagues. The bride will not add. Why? Because it says we were not ordained to condemnation. We were ordained to life.
We were ordained we wouldn't be deceived. We were ordained we would not take. We were ordained we would not add. No, it could only happen before the catching away of the bride and the entering in after coming out. That's the only time it could happen, this hour. The elect cannot be deceived, so they will not add or take away, which means that one word of this end time will be touched. We take it all just as given and intended, and we'll make it into the millennium. For all the bride needs for the rapture was revealed in the seals. In other words, Brother Branham said she had everything she needed to put in the rapture, and all she got was a revelation. Then the revelation is sufficient to produce everything that was in there. Like Peter said, what will we do? Why, he gave the word of God, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Either that's true or it's not true. Now the bride believes and is sanctified and justified. But there are those who refuse the light. They go into spiritual darkness and death and the great tribulation and then the white throne and the lake of fire. Now listen, in closing, the revelation has been given. There is not another one to come. The first part of the going away is in full effect. That's a shout, the message. As soon as this revelation is confirmed in the bride, she is then one with the revealed word, and Jesus is then living in bride form. That's what he is, living in bride form, our form. Right in us, Holy Ghost filled, in us, over us, surround, all one word, many members, one word, one body, many verses, one word, can't touch. Then the dead rise, and then the living are changed internally, externally, and all are caught away to the marriage supper, so we must never fear. We will not add or take. No, wait. Why? I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. I don't care what anybody does. There's no way that anybody really can add or take. It's only unto themselves they do it. And when you and I have received, and that's all there is to it, received that revelation. And the last predestinated word or seed is in. There will be a bride who is exactly one with each other because she's exactly one with the Word because she's actually one with God. And there'll be no adding and there'll be no taking. We have a rest. At evening time in the murky darkness there is a day which is either neither light nor dark. There has to be a light shine for the predestinated. For they will never veer from that word. They're going to believe it. It's going to take them in. It's already started. And it's going to do it. And the prophet of God vindicated stood there and he said, let me tell you something. He said, if we are not bride, get this for sure, there's a bride up there somewhere. And by the grace of God, I will not stand in her way. There is one thing I know with the prophet. I believe I am part of that bride. I don't believe God has brought me this far. I do not believe for one minute that he's given me authority in this word to preach it and to teach it and to show from Scripture through a gift of teaching and a spirit of prophecy, a testimony to Jesus Christ, that I am going to miss it. I don't believe for one minute I'm going to miss it. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If I do, there's somebody not. Because Brother Branham stood there as that vindicated prophet. And you know that there cannot be a prophet outside the bride. You know there is no way that you'd ever have a man of that caliber. In fact, they are even beyond the bride in the status. For Paul said, I have espoused you. I've already married you to the Lamb himself. What kind of a man would say that? He better know what he's saying. He better be that kind of a man. William Branham stood right here. And he came and screamed those definitive words of the Master Judge. And he declared us absolutely without sin. Justified, never having done it, bride of the spotless, virtuous Son of Almighty God, one in the Word. Well, Brother Sith, let me tell you something. He also declared us Mr. Jesus. I'm lining myself up with that. Because I believe, in spite of what other teachers teach, that the rapture is progressive. That it's all a complete revelation. And it's that revelation that begins changing you until you can no more stay here than nothing. Because the strings are off.
The body's glorified. Merciful heaven, don't you know a glorified man could go through a 6-foot tree out there if he bumped in accident, he wouldn't even know he had to touch it. His vibrations are so powerful, as Einstein said, if two things going at an incredible rate of speed, going so fast like two rocks at a certain speed could pass right through each other. But I don't know if two rocks could, in a way, the molecules have to be really agitated. But how would you stop a spirit going through a tree? And we are spirit bodies. Glorified, immortal bodies. One glorified man can control the whole world and own it. One glorified man. If it were possible that he could get out of control, create his own world. Satan isn't a glorified man. He's not in the image. All things were created by the one that we're going to fall down and worship. We're going to crown King of Kings. And we're just exactly in his image. One glorified man. But because he is in the image, he will upset nothing. He will neither add nor will he take. But God will come forth in his beauty. Now I'm going to tell you something. You might not know it, but you are world changers. You are a part of the master plan of God using you to change worlds. Otherwise, why are they being changed? He's starting with us in order to have the rest. His brother Branham said when God had that great fish in mind with the fin, he said, I'm going to make water for that fish to swim in. It wasn't the water that counted. It was the fish. Everybody talks about the promised land. Hallelujah. Ain't it nice that we just somehow get there? Oh, no. I'm glad it was made for me. That's mine. I can stand here in the fourth kingdom. Rome. Ruling exclusively and already in Canada, the Bishop Conference of Roman Catholics have decided that the church will step in and save the nations because the people are hungry. They'll give them the money. Oh, I love Canada. Yuck. Thank God I left there. I knew that. Listen, too much Catholic, brother, sister. America's gone that way, too. The world's going that way. We got the IRS all set up. Jesus came at a time of great taxation. He came at a time when the publicans were ruining the people, and the IRS was doing the same thing. Yeah. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. That's right. That's right. Heavenly Father, it's just been so good to be in here. Just wonderful beyond compare, Lord. Marvelous, marvelous, marvelous are thy doings in our eyes, Lord. We could almost write another book of Psalms as we've seen thy doings, Lord. What you did in Jeffersonville, Indiana. What you did over in Louisville, in Evansville. What you did over there in St. Louis. What you did over there in Los Angeles, the great prophecy. What you did in Africa, truckloads of crutches. What you did when those thousands, as the Hindus wiped the dust off their foreheads, just like a dust storm in the air. What you did, great and mighty your works, Lord God. Great and mighty are you, Lord, and you've led us out of the churches, Lord. You've led us out of the harlot. You've led us, Lord, away, leading us into the promised land. Great and mighty are your works, and great and mighty is our God. As an illustration to us of what he is doing, what he's going to do, Lord, how can we doubt? There's no way, Lord. There's no way, Lord. We've heard your voice come and dine. We've heard your voice, Lord, eat and prepare for the journey. We've identified ourselves, Lord, because we believe you've identified us. We would not dare come of our own without a garment, Lord. We stand, Lord, before you, believing that the garments are being inner garments, the great garments of identification, the great garments, Lord, that absolutely show forth the investiture of the bride. Those garments, Lord, so the bride glorious within and without. And there's only one reason, Lord, because you are within and you are without. The whole thing of God, Lord. And we do not say that, Lord, to be flattering. You know, Lord, in our hearts, we start with a little step of faith, and we've been increasing and growing, Lord, and something in our minds has said, well, there's nothing else but this anyway. There isn't in our books, Lord. If there is, I wouldn't know where to turn. I wouldn't know where to go. All I can say is, Lord God of Abraham, Lord God of Jesus, Lord God of Paul, Lord God of William Branham, Lord God of Elijah, great God, that one. You're getting ready. You've gotten ready to get us out of here, and you're going to do it, And Lord, this is a wonderful word we have, and I know that the churches around may look at us and they may not agree, but they do know there's a great word that we have because the prophet brought it vindicated. That great word has made us different.
That great word got us ready for the promised land. That great word. And that great word has made us word. And now we can go to the promised land. And Satan is bound by circumstances. He couldn't get to one of us. There won't be a leaf out of place anymore. There won't be death anymore. There won't be dislocation anymore. Won't be disharmony anymore. Disunity. It's going to be wonderful, Lord. Oh, God. Lord, I tell you what. I just don't even know how I can think of it. It's sure what your word said, I have not seen nor heard. It isn't even in our hearts. We just, all we can say is, Lord, there's a deep calling for the land beyond the river. And what is there, O God, will take its rightful place, and we are rightful place with it. And that's going to be it, Lord. That's about all we can say. Because we don't know beyond that. But our eyes have seen, our hands have handled the word of life. And whatever that means, we've got it. We're a part of it, Lord. We're content to let it go with that. We're content, Lord, to just let it go with that and just walk on in. Enjoy the surprises. Enjoy the elements. If we can enjoy little bits of this word here as it opens up to place it, then, Lord, what will be the placing of that living word? And we're part of it. Father, we're content to let it be. If you need to show us something, Lord, please show us. If you need to gear us down or gear us up, whatever you need to do, Lord. You're God. Your own word says the hearts of kings are in your hands, the same as rivers of water, and you turn them whichever way you will. You said, blessed is the man that that you choose and cause to approach unto your throne. Lord, we'd make you sovereign today. We'd make you sovereign today in a humility and a sincerity we've never had before. Lord, we know something is happening. We can't make it happen faster. Because there's patience and things to be entered into, to possess by patience. In patience we keep our souls, and patience we possess the kingdom. We know these things, Lord. So when you have to bring us down, just we trust you. Because we know the same one will lift up. We know the same one has given us everything to make ourselves ready. And we shall see the glory of God. Lord, I pray for everyone in divine presence. Those that couldn't be here with us, Lord, we're sorry they're sick and what have you. We know that these things happen. Bless them, O God. Keep them, guide them, rule, direct their lives. They're sick at home, we pray you'll heal them. You're so good to our great-granddaughter, Lord, and we believe that's not an isolated case. You're good to all. Even all your creatures, Lord, we pray for people today that they might be well. Merciful God, your healing hand come upon them. And this building here too, Lord, heal bodies, but above all, heal minds, heal souls, heal spirit, Lord. May people begin to realize that it doesn't matter what they look like, what they've been through, or what they might even go through. That if there was yet seed that you planted in them, if they were born to this end, then they're worth something to you. And if they're worth something to you, then it doesn't matter if they're worth anything to anybody else. Because that's not what counts. It's you what counts, Lord. And you'll make them one of your jewels. You'll do that, Lord. For you said, who are you, man, to judge another man's servant on his own master stands or fall? And ye and God is able to make him stand. You said, Lord, your own David said, though the righteous fall seven times, the Lord lifts him up. So, Lord, we rest on that for your people. We rest on that, Lord, for consolation that you didn't leave us. You came using your prophet, using your word. We often think of that song, through shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet God leads his dear children along. That's true, but also some through the waters and some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Oh, yes, Lord, some through great depressions, great tortures, great problems, but there's never a doubt that you lead us along, you lead us through, you lead us into. You make us to lie down. You're the one, Lord. And one day we're going to gather around that throne, and very shortly we're going to gather around you. And what a day that's going to be, the great field excursions that lie ahead. Oh, the great investigations, the great experiences. The heart constantly in tune to overflowing. There won't be one little fear. There won't be one little catch in the breath, one little trip in the walk, one little stumble. There won't be one jaundiced look. There won't be any of those things. No, it's going to be just wonderful. And Lord, you gave us the word to see that we got it. Father, I can't believe anything but restoration this hour. I can't believe anything, Lord. But you have done what you said you'd do. And now we're about to gather the complete fruit of it. We cannot praise thee enough. There's no way. Magnify your great name. But unto the King, eternal, immortal, the only wise God, him that's invisible now, who will soon take upon him the form of the visibility of that blessed one whose body he indwelt, making him the fullness, that Logos, that one. We look upon him, truly immortalized, and we with him. What a day. Unto him there be all honor and glory and power, everything in tribute. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Let's sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus."
Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
That's the beauty of it all, that he loved us first. You know, there isn't one of us that have any real thoughts of love unless he loved us first, and it wouldn't be just a matter of him loving us first, you know. And that's a little bit odd, you know, because he loved the world. He said he's going to destroy those who destroyed the earth. Everything God made, he loved when he made it to the end of love. And but just to think that he loved us with a love that he never loved anything else. Everything else has a sort of permissiveness, a gradation, a looking up to the bride that looks up to him. So that's the greatest love. And if he had not loved us, there'd be no way we would love him. It's just that simple. See? Jesus, lover of our soul, the songwriter said, "Let me to thy bosom fly, while the near waters roar, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storms of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O, receive my soul at last." Yep, there had to be a last day. Had to be a last call. It feels like that at this hour. That something is all over. A book has been closed, but another book has been opened. I believe that. May be that the squeeze has just developed. I don't know, but something has happened. That much I do know. I can't tell you. I'm not here as a prophet. I wish I were, but something happens when I say it happens. Maybe he'll show me later. I don't know, but I can tell you that something has happened. And it doesn't feel good. It feels difficult. It feels as though this meeting we're going to dismiss today and we never see each other again, to be honest with you. Yet it's not there. I'm not trying to be mysterious. You know me. I'm kind of funny. I'm not a prophet, but I get things that slant in. I don't understand them at times. I understand later. But I do know one thing, that as he told me to keep my eyes on the Word, I have no doubt that what something was telling me last fall is telling me again that something has happened. I don't know. But I do know things must be fulfilled before the dead come out of the ground, before we're changed. But I want you to know this, my brother, sister, that the prophet said, always looking back, always looking forward. We don't belong to that group. Amen. By the grace of God, I do not belong to those I never did who look forward and look back. There is no way I'll attach myself to that. Not for one minute. I will not receive that. By his grace, I am one of those who look what is going on. And something is going on. We're nearer. Don't worry. Let me encourage you to believe. Don't look at Lee Vale. Don't expect anything from him. But if I stand here as any kind of a servant of all, or to God, and very poor servant, that, let me tell you, I'm not lying to you. This one who spoke to the prophet, this one who teaches us the Word, this one who gives us this light, he is here today, and he will not let anything happen but what must happen for your glorification and for mine. And though it may seem difficult at times, many things in the evening hour are so bizarre, as all things are in shadow form in the evening hour, but at the same time there is a light where the reality of God comes through. So let me say, no matter what happens, I have no idea knowing. I do not know, but I do know surely as I knew 4 years ago, I know at this hour that we are moving constantly upward and into that which is going to get us out of here. Perhaps just that little ache in my heart is all it was, realizing that there is going to be a leaving. I think we feel more deeply about people than we do feel, than we want to admit. That we do feel sorry for those who many times we have to take, as it were, a stand against. We don't want to, but we have to stand with the word. Every time you stand for something, you stand against something, brother, sister. Everything is an antithesis. Your very body would fall to the ground if it wasn't an antithesis. You've got on one side of your spine the muscles pulling, the other side the muscles pulling. If they pulled in one direction, you'd be screaming, lying on the floor right now. You couldn't stand it. Everything is an antithesis. Anti-poles. But I'll tell you something. Well, we will have what it takes. We'll have the compassion, the understanding, the fortitude, all of those things, which are devolving. And it means just one thing. We're going to get out of here. That's the big thing. Yeah, we're going to get out of here. Jesus, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You know that? That was the one thing to do. That was the one thing to do. You know, he had a mother who was quite a wonderful woman. And she said, be it unto me according to thy word. You know, I don't believe that Mary stands unique. And I don't believe that Jesus stands unique in this respect. If he became one of us, then he doesn't stand unique. He stands as a great common denominator, wherein through him we get all the way back to God. And we are unique with him. Yeah? Not ashamed to call us brethren. See? The Lord love you. I'm just... kind of wait. I'm not a prophet. I keep telling you. I'm not saying that for humility. I'm not saying that she'll think something else. But just please understand what I'm saying. Look, I tell you things the best I can. I have to tell them in a sort of darkness because I don't know myself. But I do know this. And I know with all my heart that if we have not passed from the shout, we are spiraling up to a place that we have never yet known the effect of the Word of God. Of course we won't until we're changed, but I'm telling you, it's a progress, it's progressive. I cannot understand how a man can possibly believe this message and go down the road day by day not knowing the moving of the Word of Almighty God and suddenly expect that you'll feel a change. My brother, my sister, if today I can only lift 10 pounds, but within 1 year, I want to lift 100. I will have to exercise my muscles and build them up. And I'm not saying you can do something about this. I'm merely telling you that if it takes this word to bring that change, to bring the dead out of the ground, something is already happening and in transition to each major event until we're caught out of here, because the Lord himself does all three in descending. Now, I believe that. So the Lord bless you. Just take it from me. I don't lie to you. I can't tell you because I don't know what to tell you. That whatever it is that imprints indelible words on my mind or sometimes gives me that very, very peculiar, strange feeling of something is going on, I believe it's all to the good. I believe it signifies a clarity, an understanding, a step of faith. It may also mean a further dislocation, a further separation. But what do you say? As the butterfly emerges from the chrysalis, the moth from the cocoon, the chicken from the egg, even the baby from the womb, there is a struggle. And anyone who will not admit to the struggle will abort or disfigure or distort. That's been the trouble. We want to come forth in his image. They that suffer with him will rule with him. You'll be glorified in it. Whatever it is lies ahead, I know one thing.
It doesn't disturb me. But let's just be more serious, more sober, more concerned. Pray to God daily that whatever is happening takes a deeper, stronger, firmer hold upon us. Until, like Job, we say we're coming forth in His image. The Lord bless you. Let's go sing and take the name of Jesus with you.